So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome, welcome. It is great to be with you. It's our weekly happy hour here on Trending. And the topics of the hour are the four levels of happiness. Where are you in those four levels? Do you find that you are happy? Are you progressing in happiness? Are you stuck? Are you in a rut? Are you lonely? We're going to touch on all of that during this weekly happy hour to help you see perhaps why you're having a hard time discovering happiness. Also, one of the questions that we will discuss is, are people who have kids happier? I think this is a fascinating question. If you'd like to answer it, you can give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. If you would like to comment or share a thought, you can also comment on my Instagram live now. By sharing your thoughts, you can interact live. Let us know what you think about this. Are people who have kids happier? We'll dive into and unpack this whole topic a little later, but I'd love to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts. First, I'd like to dive into the topic of happiness as a whole. If you've never joined us before for a weekly happy hour, thanks for joining us. We ultimately work toward overcoming this focus on happiness from the emotional perspective that happiness is an emotion. It's fleeting, it's transitory, it's like giddiness. We can be giddy, but then giddiness goes away. We're not always giddy. We could be sorrowful, but sorrowful goes away. We're not always sorrowful. We could go through any number of emotions and talk about this. Happiness is one of them. And so many of us are focused on chasing happiness. So let's unpack that a little deeper. Now, one of the key points I always make, again, if you've never been with us on a happy hour, the goal, this hour should really be called our joy hour, but some people might not quite get it. Joy is a virtue. It's rooted in God. It's a grace-filled life. It's that no one can take away your peace, your confidence. And when I'm talking about peace and confidence in God, that presence with God, there's this unwavering, even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of anger, even in the midst of frustration, whatever may come and go, it's like you're able to maintain because you're rooted in God. You know where you're orienting your life toward by His grace. And it's important that we make that distinction as we unpack. So one of my favorite people to turn to in his work from the Magis Center, if you've never been familiar with them, is Father Robert Spitzer. Now, Father Robert Spitzer is an absolute genius. He has a ton of work talking about this specific topic of happiness. In fact, he has a book that you might consider checking out. If you want to go a little deeper, you can check his work out at magiscenter.com, as well as a book titled Finding True Happiness, Satisfying Our Restless Hearts. We'll include a link to that book in the show notes for today. But what I want to unpack are the four levels of happiness that he discusses here in this book, as well as in much of his work there at the Magis Center. And he breaks down these four levels of happiness that I think are extremely enlightening for helping us to understand where we're at when we're experiencing loneliness, when we're experiencing, you know, trying to hit that next goal, one thing after another, and you finish the goal and you're like, I feel great, but now you feel like you have to chase something else. Or maybe when you're like, okay, I know God is out there, I want to develop a prayer life, or I have a prayer life, or I'm donating all this time, I'm donating all this money, what am I looking for still? Well, that's what we're talking about today. So Father Robert Spitzer goes into breaking down these four types of happiness that ultimately have to do with four levels of desire. And these four levels of desire start on the lowest level. The base level would be our physical desire. For example, our desire for food. You get some food, you feel good when you eat it, but you still need some food again later. We could go through a bunch of them. We'll touch on this a little bit more. The next level of desire, a little higher, walking up those levels of happiness, if satiated, would be the ego desire. this desire to have dominion, to achieve things, even the competition side of us, this desire to win, to look better. When we compare ourselves, this comparison culture, which, let's be real, social media really feeds by the way we use social media. You're always feeling like you have to do the next thing, have to have the next house, the next car. The third is the contributive desire, where we actually then start to go away from turning in on ourselves of just meeting basic physical needs and feeling happy because, hey, I ate a bag of Cheetos with my chili tonight, or the ego desire of I feel really good because I am the best dressed person here, or I won the soccer game, or I got that raise, or I landed that promotion, whatever it might be. Then the third level, again, is that contributive desire where we're no longer just seeking what is pleasing us because we're dominating or we're fulfilling our desire for food or sex or whatever it might be. It's now that we're contributing. We're helping. It could be in our family, in society, in our church, our community. This is a contributive dimension where we feel good when we do good by others. Then the highest level would be this desire for perfection. Now, this desire for perfection is this idea that ultimately, what is perfect? Or better yet, who is perfect? God. And I think that this is where we see a transition, and this is where we see a drop-off, because we all fall into one of these levels. And in fact, I think throughout the day, it's even easy for us to focus in on one dimension. Let's say, for example, it's 12 o'clock, I forgot my lunch. I'm hungry, and now I'm craving food from my favorite restaurant or whatever it might be, and I keep focusing in on that. I keep thinking about it and thinking about it, and I can't think about any other food. In fact, even though I'm hungry and I forgot my lunch, I skipped lunch, it's now 4 o'clock, and let's be real, I'm hangry now, but I don't want anything to eat, not even what's accessible at my fingertips, because that's all I want. You've allowed the physical need to kind of continue to survive, which is why some of our physical desires are good, and they can even be good in other ways as well. But you've allowed it to kind of dominate you to the point where you've now taken that desire in a different direction. Okay, now you've had the food, it's 6 o'clock, you've been hangry, you made it there, but for 5-6 hours of the day, you were literally suffering through your work, had a mental fog or whatever you want to call it, you were hangry, and you met the physical desire, you feel good at the time, but look at how kind of the progression of the day went. It shows how a physical desire can be a problem. We want to orient ourselves from getting out of being stuck in certain desires throughout the day or for months and years on end. So let's talk about working up the ladder. So the first level of happiness, I kind of just gave like a simple rundown. We'll break into them more. That first level of happiness is immediate gratification and desire. So again, having to do with our physical pleasure. Now, physical pleasures can be great things. For example, there's a physical desire for intimacy with another person. There's a physical desire for food. These can be good things, but they have to be kept in check, and they can't rule our lives. We have to remember that a lot of our physical desires are actually survival instincts. And what separates us from the animals? Well, our intellect, right? Intellect and free will. We're rational beings. And so if we're acting according to reason, not just being ruled by this need for immediate gratification when it comes to our physical pleasures, our physical appetite and desires, well, then we're being more human. And I think that that's one way to look at this ladder and this hierarchy of the four levels of happiness. The happier we are, the more perfect our desire is. And the truest and most perfect desire is for God. Now, if we perfect that desire in God, then this desire, when it comes to our relation to food, to intimacy, to all of these things, should be brought in proper order. So we'll build our way continuing up that way. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Trending with Tim Ray during our weekly happy hour every Monday here on Relevant Radio. So a lot of the idea of that first level of happiness, the lowest level in immediate gratification, one of the problems is that it really is just focused on you. It's apparent pleasure, just you. Now, a lot of the saints have talked about how Satan will tempt us when it comes to very apparent pleasures, like, hey, you do need to eat, so eat. But hey, you can eat a little bit more because that pie is delicious. Come on, let's be real. We're facing gluttony in 2 or 3 days here. We all need to prepare ourselves. I find it fascinating. Some people will spend like all of Thanksgiving Day saying, I'm just not going to eat anything all day and wait for the feast. But it doesn't work that way, Patrick. It doesn't work that way, okay? It really doesn't. You can starve yourself all day and all week, but it doesn't matter. If you overeat, you overeat. You stretch your stomach. Patrick, it does not work. I'm sorry. If you overeat, you stretch your stomach. Now, if anything, you should drink a little less during and before the meal, and you'll probably have a little bit more room. See, we've got behind the scenes. Maggie's agreeing with me. Patrick's shaking his head. Shout out to our team here at Relevant Radio, working the production team backstage. Okay, so immediate gratification desires. When we look at examples of this, I've already mentioned physical intimacy, sex, food, you know, simple things that make us feel better when it comes to the body. I think when we talk about immediate gratification and physical pleasure, though, we forget how so much is happening in the technological world today and how a lot of things that we do actually create a physical reaction within us. Now, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about chemical and physical reactions we have to the use, for example, of our technology, our phone, our email, how often we check social media, those notifications, the stress level of having 500 unread emails in my email inbox, or the joy of seeing that I got 500 likes on a social media post. You know, these things that happen, we get all of these hormonal chemicals kicking into our body. We get this little elixir in our head of all the chemicals, the dopamine, the pleasure high, the serotonin, the sense of serenity, oxytocin, you know, feeling good. You know, we are actually bonding with our social media and our technology right now as we are looking at images of other people, especially if you're perhaps looking at pornography. Let's be real. That's one of the physical desires that falls under this first level of happiness. And I think that's what's sad is a lot of us are getting stuck on this first level. I'm not just talking about people who are looking at pornography, which, by the way, it's something that men and women struggle with. And if you struggle with that, I want to encourage you to check out integrityrestored.com. We'll include a link in the show notes. It's a great resource for anyone who might be struggling and want to overcome a pornography addiction. Or maybe you have a close loved one who their addiction or looking at pornography has impacted you. So as we continue to look at this first level of happiness, it's very self-oriented. There's nothing other than the self-focus. There's nothing other-oriented, and there's no sense of transcendence. It's just meeting this immediate desire. It's immediate gratification. Once that immediate gratification has been reached and achieved, it's going away already as soon as you've been satisfied. Let's be real. We're satisfied with food, but the next morning, we still need more. We could go through any number of examples. Now, here's the challenge. Many of us, whether it's in a portion of our day, for months of our life, or even years of our life, can get stuck on this first level of happiness, where we turn in on ourselves, on the physical gratification. We feel good when we meet those instant little needs. I think this is often why a lot of people struggle with weight, because it's easy to focus on when we might be struggling to want that food to help us feel better at the moment, but we don't realize what we're looking for isn't just food to feel better, but it's God, and we're going to get there. But what this first level of happiness has to do often is with physical pleasure and comfort. And I always come back to that quote, you know it well if you listen to Trending with Tim Ray regularly, from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. He said, "The world offers you comfort, but you weren't made for comfort. You were made for greatness." And this is where we have to get out of this first level of physical pleasure, immediate gratification. I'm talking about the four levels of happiness that Father Robert Spitzer talks about in so much of his work there at the Magis Center. Now, when we look at all of this, St. Thomas Aquinas mentioned something that had to do with sorrow. Now, sorrow is something that we can experience. It's an emotion. It's something that we can experience. It can make our body feel lousy. You know, your throat can get tight. You can get a headache. But he talks about how there's so many things when it comes to physical pleasure that need to be addressed. And I love this quote from him. He says, "Sorrow can be alleviated by good sleep, a bath, and a glass of wine. And he goes on to talk about how important it is to rest and refresh yourself when you're experiencing something on a physical level that you're not really getting past. That it's okay and it's good to actually address and take care of your body. And, you know, in fact, you know, getting good sleep, fundamental dimension of helping the human body be able to overcome so much of the chronic pain people experience. Getting not enough sleep causes chronic pain. Getting not enough sleep, it makes you feel depressed and down. It's one of the leading causes of suicide today. Lack of proper rest. And so this simple comment from St. Thomas Aquinas reminded me of that. Sorrow can be alleviated by good sleep, a bath, and a glass of wine. How many things can be alleviated by taking a moment to refresh and rest? Forget about this ongoing debate of me time, time for yourself. I hate that language. It's a matter of refreshment, of taking care of the whole person and not just being human doers, but human beings who be and rest for a time. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. I want to talk about the second level of happiness now, and that is the comparative and personal achievement level. Now, this is another one where we get stuck, and it still is a reflection or a focus on ourselves. We've not gotten in any way whatsoever to other people. Now, this level two happiness, again, we are experiencing some happiness. It's the stroking, basically the self-stroking of our ego, and this focus on moving forward and achieving and doing things. Now, achievements, progress, all of that is great. But if that's what you base your happiness off of, then you're not going to be fully fulfilled, totally happy. And we'll get to that more as we progress, but you'll see this egocentric personal achievement focus focuses in on that promotion, that raise, getting the next nice car, building the nice new house. You know, always this advantage focus. You know, we talk a lot about the importance of networking in the business world. Well, there can be one perspective on networking. That is, I use other people to my personal advantage to get ahead. And then there can be another view of networking. That is, I do actually want to meet people. I want to do things. I want to collaborate. I want to partner. I actually do care to meet people and not just look at them of how can I use you. So there are a lot of elements to this whole idea of achieving things that I think that can be broken down, that where we're getting stuck in personal achievement and comparison culture. Even, you know, if you think about the desire to run a marathon. You run a marathon, you're training for it, you feel really good as you're building up each and every single mile, one after another. You're building up your endurance, you're preparing for the race, you're pulling back, you're taking the time to rest and move forward. And then you achieve that marathon, next thing you know, you want to go to the next level. That's great to desire to make those achievements in life. However, if those achievements, whether it's a marathon, a raise, how many kids you have, whatever it is what you're basing your life on, this comparison of what you've done and what others have done, you're not going to be truly happy because it is self-seeking. It can lead to a tremendous amount of jealousy and never having or doing enough. In fact, many people who leave themselves stuck, even if a portion of their day or for months or years at a time on the second level of happiness, end up having a tremendous fear of failing, tend to have a sense of loneliness, and it builds up this attitude in so many of us of cynicism, this low view of the human person. Why? Because we've been stuck in the first two levels of human happiness that aren't allowing us to get beyond that, to get into seeing others or discovering God. This gratification of a raise, this gratification of running a race, this gratification of how nice of a car or house I have does not last. In fact, this is this culture where I see it so often today where it's like, okay, I'll start paying off my student loans once I meet someone who I want to marry, or I'll start saving money or get a good job once I'm ready to get married to someone I've found. Or so then you get married and you're like, oh man, I have all this debt and I have all this, and you're trying to put together all the pieces because you've just kind of been like, well, whatever, I'll do it whenever. You know, I'll also see where, you know, you're like, okay, I've got to get married. and you get married, but then you're like, okay, I have to have a kid. I have to have a kid. And it's almost like just checkbox in life and never this moment of resting and enjoying and appreciating and loving the life and the gift of life that you've received. You see, this second level of happiness, which is one of the lower levels of happiness, this immediate gratification of comparison and personal achievement, it doesn't last forever because you always need the next thing, the next achievement, the next win, the new you. Think about all of the new yous. Rediscover yourself. There is a whole industry of people making millions off of self-improvement. The new job, the new car, the new house, the new kid. It was funny. I remember last year, we bought a nice car and we, you know, we've been saving up. We were getting ready. We needed the parent car because we were having a kid and my husband wanted my child to be in a tank because like any good father, he wants his kid to be protected. And it was so fascinating to me because I'm not a big car person. And so I was like, thank you, God, for this car. Thank you. You know, we have something safe to drive in. I've got the mom car now. The dad's happy. The tank is around the baby. But there were these reactions from people about the car. And I was seeing these facial expressions and the comments people were making. And even people saying, you know, jokingly, like, I hate you. I can't believe you have that. That's been my dream car always. And oh my gosh. And, you know, people making these comments. I'm just sitting here astounded that some of them were like these visceral reactions of, how could you have that? Now I have to get something like that or better. And I was bummed out because I'm like, man, it's so easy looking at these levels of happiness, how easy it is for us to get stuck in this one little area, a car, a house, a raise, the amount of authority and dominion we have. Social media breeds a comparison culture. Can make us feel like a failure and never enough. We need to get beyond this comparison culture, this achievement culture, into the higher levels of happiness. So stay with us during our happy hour. We're going to be right back unpacking this and more.
New team.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Trending on our weekly happy hour. It's great to be with you, and we're unpacking two topics in a little bit. And again, I want to hear from you. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Are people happier who have kids? Yes, no, maybe, not exactly happier, something else. Let me know. Again, the number is 1-888-914-9149. Or you can also comment on social media, live on Instagram now. We would love to hear from you. Share your thoughts. You can follow me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And I will share your thoughts during the show. Now, I think that that's a really important question. We're going to unpack it more. I think there are a lot of visceral thoughts, and it is a sensitive topic in today's culture as marriage is delayed, having children is delayed. So we'll touch on that in a second, but we've been walking through during our weekly happy hour today the four levels of happiness. And if you're just joining us, a brief rundown, because we're going to dive into level three. The first level of happiness is where you're meeting things simply on a physical desire. And those physical desires, although they can be met, the gratification is immediate but not lasting. For example, you eat, you're satiated, you feel good, maybe you feel lousy because it's Thanksgiving and you overate, but then you still need food later on. You still want more. The second level is this ego desire where we're living on a comparison culture where we are happy based on how much dominion, how much achievement, how we measure up in comparison to other people. And although there is happiness, it is temporary. It doesn't last a long time. We're always focusing on the next thing to gratify us, the next thing to achieve. Social media really negatively influences this. One person on Instagram just commented, Haley said, comparison is the thief of joy. And it is so true. And this is why we have to be more careful with how we utilize social media, how we look at the material world around us. And I think especially for us women on social media, we may not realize it, but a lot of the time that's why we're checking social media. well, how do these people look? What are these people doing? Even though the desire to see others is good, the curiosity tends to breed comparison even when we don't quite realize it. And that can feed into jealousy and even envy. So the third level of happiness is where we start to see growth, where we step outside of ourselves finally. And that is where we start to address the contributive desires, where we have this objective to help the outside world, to help others, maybe in our family, our siblings, our parents, our spouses, our children, our community, to volunteer, to help within our church community. I mean, all of these different things. And I do want to say something because I think there's something particularly beautiful about millennials. And my generation gets a lot of flack, justifiably so. But there is something interesting happening among millennials. Millennials have this profound desire to work in a mission, something that is mission-oriented when it comes to work. Many, many millennials are focusing on nonprofits. Now, would you and I agree with the type of nonprofit work they're doing, whether or not that's a nonprofit? Sure, we may not agree with that. We may not agree with their work. But I think you even see this, for example, in so many people who are slapping gay pride flags, giant gay pride flags out in front of their homes. This intense turn to promoting the Black Lives Matter movement, which Black Lives do matter, but the BLM movement and their pillars, what they stand for, is not good. You know, so many of these things, people are trying to jump behind so many different ideologies. They want to stand for something, and they're wanting to stand for something that they believe will change or save or transform the world. You see these stickers such as coexist. The idea is they want peace. But the thing is, they have a desire for good in regard to others, but they don't know what good is. They don't know how to get there. And that's the problem. Although millennials do have a desire to make a positive change, we are doing a lot of damage at times, my generation, because in that desire to make change, we're clinging on to whatever ideology we think is the best, and many of them are faulty, and we're running with them, and we're trying to force other people into those same mindsets. You see, I think that's where you see contributive desires are good, but we want to seek ultimately in that level of contributive desires, we should be seeking what is good. And that's where the fourth level of happiness will come in just a moment. But if we focus on this level three happiness, we see the element of contributive desire. That is, the characteristics of this would have to do with love, justice, goodness as the end. It's very greater good oriented. And so that would mean that the desire we have to contribute to the world, the things we are contributing to, should ultimately be good. That we're orienting ourselves to what is good, to the good causes, to the good in the world. For example, some ways we see people today living out this desire to contribute to the world, the desire to have children and to raise up and bring up good children, the good desire to marry and to love another person, and with that person to help transform the community around them by the good love that you show in your actions and example and witness and service to others. But for some reason, marriage has turned into, it's about whatever I want my marriage to be. Love is love. You see, addressing our desire to contribute to the world is where we do see the world's problems, and we want to do something to try and fix it. We're not all talk, but we actually do try to do as much good as we can. I do actually think there's a challenge today. I think a lot of people do have this contributive desire, but I think we're imploding and don't know what to do. I think about this every time a national disaster or a shooting or something terrible like what happened this week, where a person drives through a Christmas, holiday parade and they kill adults and children and harm people. And you and I hear about it and we want to do something to help. Now, as people of faith, praise the Lord, we can pray for the souls of those people who have died. We can even pray for the person who did this, what state they must be in life to do such a thing. And I know that's hard at times. You see, our desire to do good can be so profound, but again, I think we're imploding in the culture where there are so many things that we feel like we have to do because we know what's happening in the Middle East in a split second when death occurs, within Wisconsin when death occurs, you know, wherever it's happening, and we have to focus in and choose to do the best good we can and recognize that I am doing something good if we are indeed doing good. And allow ourselves not to shut down as we see all the needs of the world. That's very, very important. Now, we're going to talk about in just a little bit during our weekly happy hour here on Trending, whether or not people who have children are happier. Now, I want to address this sensitively, and we'll get to that in a bit. But I think that even falling within this topic of contributive desires, there are a lot of people who would like and love to have children. And please know, if you have shared this with me, I know I have a list of so many men and women who have shared they're trying to have children and are having a difficult time. I will pray for you, and I am praying for you. But I know a lot of people, when they discover their difficulty in conceiving or they're told that they will never conceive, which we can't doubt God. We have to still believe in miracles. I think that's important. We can't hold all our hope in that basket of I'm going to have a child, but God works miracles. That's the miracle after miracle of salvation history. It has to do with unplanned pregnancies, pregnancies of women who are quote-unquote barren. But so many people who struggle with fertility or who have not married yet and have desired to marry and thought the change that they would bring to the world would be having children, and yet they still haven't married. Often then go, well, how do I contribute to the world if I haven't married yet? If I haven't had children, I'm starting to wonder if I ever will. This is a great question that for some reason our culture is allowed to go on. That the only way you can contribute to the world is by this constant productivity. We miss that you contribute to the world by the very person you are. The good that you do, the goodness of who you are, that you're a good human being. Man fully alive is the glory of God, and the vision of God is man fully alive. You know, St. Irenaeus talks about this. I'm paraphrasing what he says. It's so significant for us to understand that spiritual motherhood and spiritual fatherhood are lived out in all people, whether they have children or not, if they will only allow this to occur. I have a dear friend who, she's in her 30s now, and she said, I thought I would have given, you know, my 20s, and even now my 30s, to raising my own family and children, and I haven't met the person I'd like to. I haven't gotten married. I haven't had kids. And there's a part of me that truly does mourn this, but I struggle with it throughout, you know, the day, thinking, like, this is what I thought was going to be my contribution to the world. And she's making peace day to day with today, God has brought me to be a school teacher, teaching and working with inner city kids. And I have to appreciate and love today my spiritual motherhood, how it is being lived out. Is that difficult? Yes. But I think every person at some point has a difficult time with how their contribution to the world is. I don't think any contribution is easy. And I think that is part of what will come up when we talk about whether or not people who have children are happier. There are mixed views, mixed thoughts on this. And I'll share that with you in just a little bit. But on this level of contributive desire, we can also miss the mark by thinking, well, if I just throw money at things, if I just contribute by, you know, buying nice gifts or donating this money, that's how I'll contribute. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to give our time, talent, and treasures. But if we only throw money at things, we're still going to miss the sacrifice sometimes of the person. Now, grant, we can give till it hurts, but it requires that when we give, we're giving our time, talent, and treasures, not just necessarily focusing on our treasures in a particular way. You know, I was looking at some of the breakdown of these four levels of happiness from the Magis Center. Again, this comes from Father Robert Spitzer. He talks about these four levels. And it was talking on the Magis Center website where it has these modules. If you ever want to go deeper in your faith, there are a lot of educational resources there that talk a lot about philosophy in particular. And it was talking about how on this contributive dimension that we can be raising a family, we can all have all these friends, you know, you can be contributing and donating time. But one of the questions that was posed, but do you also give the contributive side of yourselves to those that you don't like as much when you're around them, that you kind of desire to ignore, that you have a hard time relating to or getting along with? Are you still willing to contribute? In other words, when it gets difficult. You see, that's where the contributive dimension starts to be transformed slowly, working its way up the ladder to the fourth level of happiness, which we'll touch on in a moment. This is where I think we need to pray to our Lord. Incline my heart, O Lord. I think it's so important that in order to grow in our contributive happiness, our contributive desire of the human person, who we are and what we do, that one of my favorite Psalms, and I think this is why we pray and read the Psalms, it's so helpful. If you read the Psalms, it really appeals to all the desires we have. And in Psalm 119, verses 37 through 40, we read, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life." This little portion of Psalm 119, I think, helps us, if we really ponder it, to overcome those first two, and even working through the faults of the third level of happiness. Incline my heart to your testimonies. That is, incline my heart to the will of God, to what he has testified to his commandments, and not to selfish gain, just meeting my physical. He says, the psalmist says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. In other words, stop focusing on things that do not satisfy for ultimately eternal life, which is what we're going to get to in that fourth level of happiness. And here I think the prayer is so beautiful. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. That is, we can long to do what is good. We can long for God, but we still need his help in getting over just focusing on transitory happiness and desires. So pray Psalm 119. Pray the Psalms. They're so helpful at the beginning, end, and middle points of our day to pray them. This is why the liturgy of the hours that the priests, the nuns, the religious pray, I think are so beneficial, even for us laity, even if we're not required to pray them the way that our priests are. So let's dive a little bit into that fourth level of happiness when we come back here. We're going to talk about how that fourth level of happiness is a desire for ultimate good, and how this transforms happiness on such a superficial level that can be so base, so basic, and miss the mark in bringing true joy and not just transitory, momentary happiness. We'll be right back here on Trending with Timory. Don't go away. If you'd like to share your thoughts live, the number's 1-888-914-9149. The question coming up is whether or not people who have children are happier.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. We've been unpacking the four levels of happiness. In just a moment, we're going to dive into whether or not people who have kids are happier. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a thought, you can comment live on my Instagram at Timory, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, to share your thought, or give us a call, 1-888-914-9149. We've been unpacking the four levels of happiness, and if you haven't joined us, I strongly encourage you to go back, listen to this, kind of ponder, where am I? Am I getting stuck maybe in portions of my day? Have I been stuck for a couple months or a couple years? How can I work toward that fourth level of happiness, the highest level of happiness, like working up a ladder? This fourth level of happiness, as Father Robert Spitzer discusses from the Magis Center, and again, I want to highly recommend his book if you've not heard of or seen some of his work. You can read the book, Finding True Happiness, Satisfying Our Restless Hearts, or check out some of the work at themagiscenter.com. They have these modules for learning. If you want to take a course, there's an opportunity, you know, to really read and dive in there. But in this fourth level of happiness, He talks about these desires that we have. One, the first level starts with these physical desires. For example, food, sex, all of these different things on the physical level. And they can be good, but if left on that level, we'll never be truly happy or what we're working toward, ultimately joyful. But the fourth level of happiness, our desire is for ultimate good. That's what we desire. I think about St. Augustine, who lived a life, had a past, been there, done that. And the famous quote we hear from him, "Our souls are restless, O Lord, until they rest in you." You see, this fourth level of happiness is we need to desire and work toward satiating, which we can't satiate it alone, only God can. Isn't that powerful? We can eat all the food we want on the first level of happiness, have momentary satisfaction, but it goes away. The fourth level of happiness, we can't fill ourselves. But we do need to be open vessels to God to fill us up here. This fourth level of happiness, ultimate good, participation in the life of God, this reciprocity, this receiving and giving, the good, who is the ultimate good, God himself. Principal dimensions of this fourth level of happiness are laid out as truth, love, justice, and beauty. Pursuing, seeking these in all things. You see that gratification is not immediate and then gone, such as on the first level. It's not short-term and gone, such as in the second level, where we get stuck on this egotistical comparison or achievement-only level. And it's not even, you know, these long phases, such as on the third level, where we start to contribute, but not quite what we need. This is not just long-term. This is permanent, ultimate good, true happiness, where it's eternal with God. It's enduring. So many people will talk about, how do I build up endurance or resilience in life? In fact, we talked about that recently during one of our happy hours, is how do I build up resilience? We talked about a psychologist who was a resilience trainer for people who worked in high pressure environments. Well, I think that we have to come back to this idea of endurance. You will not be able to endure things. You will not be resilient unless you are seeking that fourth level of happiness. That is God. Because even if we're on the third level of happiness, we seeking to meet our desires of contributing to the world, that contributing to the world can turn in on itself, in on, look what I've done. Or we burn out because we can't do it all without God. And this is why in order to build that endurance into a in order to build that fourth level of happiness, of being oriented toward the ultimate good who is God, we need to be predisposed to him, to receive him. This is why living a sacramental life, being in a state of grace, receiving our Lord worthily in Holy Communion, praying morning and evening, doing those examination of conscience, this will form and inform our life and lead to action in our life by the very person we are. In this fourth level of happiness, we appreciate and see and understand the gift of faith. St. Thomas Aquinas says, to one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. But to one without faith, no explanation is possible. Maybe you're listening right now and you're like, okay, of course you're saying, you know, you're Catholic, you're that, you know, the faith, the religious girl. Of course you're saying that God is the highest level of happiness and that if you choose God and if you just pray, you'll be happier. I'm not saying if you just pray, you'll be happier. What I'm saying is we need full union with God. We need eternal life with God. That's when we will be happy. And that won't be happiness that is momentary and transitory. That will be joy. But we can experience a glimpse of this, a foretaste of this here on earth. That's why St. Thomas Aquinas says, and it is true. And if you're struggling with this, I pray that you ponder this. To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. But to one without faith, no explanation is possible. First Peter, our first Pope, St. Peter, in the first chapter says, without having seen him, that is God, without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you rejoice. It's this faith in God, this rejoicing in God. To have joy is to have grace, to live a grace-filled life. Another dimension and focus of this fourth level of happiness is that we are choosing to understand the proper perspective when it comes to death. That death here on earth is not the end of life. We have life eternal in heaven or in hell. And I'd hope that as we're pondering eternal life, we're reading sacred scripture and pondering the words such as the psalmist in Psalm 84, where it says, "How lovely is your dwelling place." Where it says, "My soul longs for you." This is why we need to pray the Psalms. It helps orient us toward what we should ultimately be desiring, to what is ultimately true, good, and beautiful. The end of the day, the beginning of the day, it's like a snap and a slap in the face of, hey, focus. I remember a reporter once, there's a story of a reporter once was there meeting St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. By the way, we did an awesome episode talking about her and someone who met her and worked with her. If you didn't catch it, go listen to the podcast, relevantradio.com/trending or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Fantastic stories you have never heard before. But the reporter's there asking Mother Teresa, like, how do you do what you do? He's like looking at all this sickness. He's disgusted. He's around him like, I couldn't do this. How do you do what you do? And the story goes, she grabbed the reporter by the wrist and shook him and then pointed at the cross. And she said, if I took my eyes off of that cross for 1 minute, I would not be able to do anything. You see, that's the perspective that we need on that fourth level of happiness. That we are oriented, united, receiving absolutely everything from God and giving everything back in return. This is how we have joy in this life. Not momentary happiness, lasting joy. This is how we have a providential perspective in the good and the bad. You see, this perspective, this fourth level of happiness, encompasses your thoughts, your words, your actions. We read St. Paul's words in Colossians chapter 3, set your minds on things that are above. That is what builds fourth level happiness. You're listening to Trending with Tim right here on Relevant Radio. I'll have to post after the show this little diagram that the Magis Center produced from Father Robert Spitzer's work on happiness that we've been breaking down these four levels of happiness because it's so helpful to see this and understand and go, this is where I am. I'm stuck here. Maybe I was stuck here at a different point in my life. What do I need to do? And how can I pray with this to work toward ultimate joy, a life rooted in God? And remember, our souls, as St. Augustine discussed, our souls are restless until they rest in Him. You're listening to Trending with Tim Marie here on Relevant Radio. The question, one of the questions of the hour that I want to unpack, and we're going to have to come back to this tomorrow because I think it is an important topic. I want to at least share with you some of the social media response, which I do think has been fascinating. The question was, are people who have children happier? Now, I want to be sensitive in the culture we live in with the increase in delayed marriages, the desire for marriage, delayed child rearing, having children, for many, the difficulty in having children. This isn't meant to be a topic of, hey, you're unhappy if you don't have kids, but it's a question. People who choose to have kids versus people who choose not to have kids. It's an important topic in the culture we live in. Now, when I posed this question on social media, I found it fascinating because on Instagram, overwhelming amount of yeses. People who have children are happier. Yes, 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 yes. Catherine responded, yes. Instagram, so many people. Jessica says, yes, you are happier, but also you feel more fulfilled, she said. And she said, I'm not saying that it's not stressful, but there's a fulfillment there. Some people have commented saying this completeness. It was fascinating. The Instagram responses were so positive. But then I looked at Facebook and like you got into the real raw. People talk about how Facebook has been like the landing place for moms and moms who are in the thick of it. There are a lot of responses of like, it's rough. It's hard. Would I say happy? A lot of people are saying no. It's difficult. It depends on what you mean when you say happier. I saw a lot of the reality and the bluntness that yes, days are hard. So a lot of people commented that yes, it's hard, but it makes you less self-centered. It makes you a better person. And although that might make you not necessarily make you feel happy, being a better person does bring this greater sense of goodness and satisfaction. Not might not be like, oh, ha, ha, I'm happy, we're doing this, we're doing that. I mean, the reality is you have children. You know, I remember one professor of mine once said, Dr. Michael Barber, he said, you know, people talk all the time about how religious take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Well, when you get married, too, you enter into poverty having children. You enter into chastity, marital chastity, and obedience. Yeah, you got to be obedient. Trust me, there's a lot of obedience that's required within the context of marriage. And so, yes, does it pose challenges? Does it pose, you know, this opportunity to grow when you don't necessarily want to grow? Yes. But I think this is a fascinating question. We're going to unpack it more tomorrow on the show because I also want to talk about the other side where a lot of people aren't just making comments about, hey, if I don't have a kid, I get to sleep in as late as I want. I can do what I want. Everyone always emphasizes that. If you don't have kids, you get to sleep in. I don't know what they're talking about. My kid sleeps 12 straight hours. It's just a matter of if I get to bed early enough. That's the challenge. You're listening to Trending with Tim right here on Relevant Radio. Tomorrow, we'll unpack and dive into some really fascinating research on the topic of whether or not people who have kids are happier. When I say people who have kids, I'm talking about people who choose to have kids versus people who choose not to have children. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, relevantradio.com/trending, and share this episode with a friend.